Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game, Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. No D. Mace today, shipping up to Boston. Congratulations to DJ, his son,
yes,
graduating from Boston University this weekend.
And, you know, I know we hear it all the time here off the air and on the air a little bit, but how proud Derek is of DJ.
Yeah.
And that young man is on the way to good things.
Absolutely.
You know, he's done a great job to graduate Boston University, but, you know, he's going on to other things too. You know,
yes,
he's done some great things in the summers and stuff, so congratulations to DJ and the whole Mason family.
Absolutely.
You know?
I know D. Mace is a very proud dad for very, yeah, very good reasons.
And so Bailey, a proud older sister.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I hope they enjoy the graduation weekend. You have a grad of your own.
I know. And speaking of older sisters, Evie Donick, who is going to school right down the street from DJ at Northeastern University in Boston, got home from Boston last night for her brother's graduation. So Mahoney graduating from USN on Sunday. So,
two proud
big
dads
weekend
on the
going on at the Donick house for sure. Yeah,
two very proud
and
dads.
Empty
and
nesting
grads
on the horizon. So,
are you looking forward to it? Or are you?
I don't know if I'm looking forward to it. I don't. It's the great unknown.
Uh huh.
You know, it's been a long time.
Whole lot of dusting, Willie.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of yard
projects. We have done a lot of speculating. Aaron Donick and I have. What are we going to do? You know, it's like, what are we going to do? I don't know.
I remember a couple months before I graduated from high school, I'm the youngest of two, so they were kind of prepping for empty nesting. They got a dog, and then they renovated a bathroom, and then they renovated the floors, and then they just started renovating everything in the house. So you just pick and choose things that need to be renovated. That'll probably take up a good bit of your time. Get a dog, get a puppy, you know.
Okay.
Just start over with raising.
Start a list of things, and
Yeah.
Start going on a roll.
Exactly.
Things will present themselves.
And before we get into it, because we got the Titans schedule release yesterday, we also heard from Pecorine. He sat down with Jared Stillman. Pecorine was inducted into Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, so congratulations to Pekka. I don't think it's a surprise to any of us that he will now be enshrined in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. So we'll react to that. We'll do that next hour. We'll also react to that with Elliot Friedman at 1 p.m.
And let me say this, too. We've had the fun time with the Civil War, the Avengers, and all that stuff. We've had some great debates, and Jared has been involved. I want to commend
a spicy week on the station,
and I do want to commend though Jared on a great interview with Pecorine. Just a fantastic job. Pekka has so much wisdom, but I think Jared did a really good job asking the right questions. You know, and so hats off to Jared.
It was,
and we will continue
interview.
Our debate with you know stuff that Jared said because the next chapter has happened. With Milwaukee, they lost last night. Tough game, 3-2, against a very good team. Grand Rapids is the Red Wings farm system. The Red Wings have been rebuilding for 8 years now.
Yeah,
but they do have a very good prospect pool, and a lot of those guys were involved last night. They have their goalie of the future playing, but now it really does look like it's time. There's a runway to get Askarov back in there. So maybe we'll at least close the book on that whole thing.
At least for now.
Carl Taylor did coach last night,
Carl
by the
Thomas?
Way. Carl Thomas, yes. We brought in a new guy last
Everybody
night.
Everybody's coaching. Yeah. And congratulations to Carl Taylor for keeping his job. we continue our congratulations to you, Willie, a very proud dad of a USN grad, and D. Mays, a very proud dad of a Boston University grad. I wanted to send a congratulations to Mickey Ryan, who just announced yesterday that he would be stepping away from the station across the street. Mickey truly is the kindest person. Anybody who's tuned into his show at one point or another could probably hear that, but I can attest that in real life, in person, he is just as kind and charismatic and just as much of a great man. So congratulations to Mickey Ryan on a fantastic run, and I know that he'll be missed in this city and on these airwaves.
I will second that for sure, and I was working for said station when Mickey started at that station, and so I've known him for a long time. And the one thing I will say about him is when you start competing against one another, I always admired. He was always so respectful to me because I'm sitting there going, we got to compete. We got to, you know, we're the news station. We got to compete with the, but he was always really good at keeping it, when we would see each other, commenting on this or that, just a really good person.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. And a very talented host, for sure.
Absolutely.
So I wish him well, no question about it. Good
100%.
Person.
100%, yeah. I wish him the best of luck in whatever comes next. Willie?
Okay.
We got the schedule yesterday.
Schedule's out.
And also, shouts out to not just the Titans social media team, but social media teams across the NFL for truly Oscar Emmy-worthy presentations of schedule release videos that we saw on social media yesterday. But we got the Titans schedule officially. I'll run through it quickly. Kick off the season on the road at Chicago. Back home against the Jets and Green Bay in weeks 2 and 3. Back on the road, Monday Night Football at Miami. Little bit of a, you know, deja vu from last season. Bye week, week 5. Then back home hosting the Colts, on the road at Buffalo, on the road at Detroit, at home against New England, on the road at LA. That's the farthest the Titans are going to travel. That is the only game that the Titans play outside of the Central or Eastern time zone, which I think is a big deal. Back home against Minnesota, on the road at Houston, on the road at Washington, back home against Jacksonville, and then hosting Cincinnati, on the road at Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and then they round out week 18 hosting the Houston Texans.
So once again, heavy emphasis, which I feel like has happened more years than not, heavy emphasis on division games at the end of the year.
Yeah, that is one thing. And one of my schedule takeaways, because I have a list of some things.
Because some people like that, some people don't like that part. But that is clearly a direction that they have gone. Right?
They have one divisional game in the first 11 weeks of the season.
And I think you could argue, is that the best way? Is that the best way to do it? I don't know if it's the best way to do it.
I think that you could argue either way, because you might say with a young quarterback in a new system, well, by the second half of the season, they'll know who they are. They'll have figured themselves out. Will Levis will have a better grasp of the offense. He'll have a better command, having that much more experience. But I also look at it and say, okay, well, you play Houston, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Jacksonville a second time, and then Houston a second time, all 5 games within 7 weeks. Well, what if you have a pretty crucial injury that happens the week before you enter that stretch of divisional games? Well, that could completely derail the rest of your season in the most important games on your schedule. That's a lot of, I'll say mental focus. I know it's the NFL. I know every single game matters. But let's be honest, like a game at Washington, that's not as important as on the road at Houston. So I don't love it. I don't love all those games being bunched up together. And we're still going to have major questions about the division and kind of the hierarchy of the division all the way until weeks 16, 17, and 18.
And I understand why they do that. I think they're trying to keep everybody within striking distance, and it does leave itself for the drama of what has happened in the last 2 years in the division. You had a team that had a stranglehold on the division lose the grip on it in the last few weeks, right? 2 years ago, the Titans, and then last year, Jacksonville, right? And I think the league would say, well, see, you had division games late, and you had a chance for somebody to make a run. That's the good part about it. I'll give you a different, because anytime you have a 17-game season, every game is huge.
Totally.
That's part of the drama of the NFL. And you have a salary cap league, and there's a lot of parity. That's a big part of it. I would argue there needs to be a little bit more balance of the first round through the division and the second round through. And here's the frame of reference. In hockey, there's a lot of talk of, especially in the West, right, where the teams are really spread out. There's a lot of mileage. There are a lot of people that are saying it's time to just play 2-game series. Instead of having people flying all the way across North America throughout the year, let's cut down on the travel by saying when Nashville plays Seattle, let's have a 2-game series.
Mm-hmm.
Get them both out of the way.
Yeah.
Play back-to-back nights. You'll save on hotel rooms. You'll save on gas for your fuel. You'll not have people yo-yo in all the place. You save time.
Yeah.
The reason they don't do that is because exactly what you said of what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
If I play Seattle twice and my goalie and my top scorer happen to be out, now I've played the same team twice.
You're
without two of my best
team.
Players.
Yeah.
And that's a huge advantage. And it's a double whammy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I play them one time, and then later in the season, I play them in Seattle. But now this time, Seattle's got two players out, and I've got my two players back. It's a little bit of the flow and the randomness. It's not concentrated. So I think that's the argument why they don't do it in hockey. I still, you know, from a practical standpoint, think it might be time to consider it a little bit more. Play the two game series. But that's why they don't. And that does happen. Like the Titans 2 years ago played the division games late and they were decimated with injuries. They had Malik Willis starting. Remember the game they lost against Houston at home? That was a killer, right? As in retrospect. And then of course they had to play at Jacksonville with the division on the line with Josh Dobbs quarterbacking. Yeah, it was just tough.
Yeah.
There was the game, the last game of the season, Mike Vrabel, early in Mike Vrabel's tenure, where they played the Colts at home, and they had to play with Blaine Gabbert at quarterbacking. But it's concentrated because those are all division games very late in the season. So, I don't know. Could there be a balance and have the first round of division games happen in the first half of the season? And then the second round of division games happen late in the season. I think that's the way to go, rather than have both Jacksonville games in the month of December. Why not one early in the first half and then the second one in December? I can understand having division games late, but not both of them, right?
All of them. And it would be fair to say, it's not fair for me to say, well, you know, the Titans might be hurt or it's the end of a season. Well, it's the end of the season for everybody. Everybody still has a high risk, a high likelihood, knock on wood, of injury at that point in time. So just for reference, I just picked another team in the division. I picked the Colts just to see how their divisional games shake out. Well, they start with the Texans week one. They go on the road at Jacksonville week five and then Titans week six, Texans week eight, and then Titans week 16, Jags week 18. That's a lot more spread out.
That is more spread out.
Than the Titans have.
That makes much more sense to me. I like that better.
I do too. You have a couple at the beginning, and then you have a couple sprinkled at the end. That's a lot more spread out than five games in 7 weeks at the end of the season. But so I don't love where the divisional games are at. I'll ask you, Willie, because I've kind of gone back and forth on this one. Titans' first four games, at Chicago, at home against the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, at home against Green Bay, and then at Miami on Monday Night Football. What do you make of those first four games, that start?
You know, I always try, because none of us can resist the temptation, because it's exciting when the schedule comes out and you get all these thoughts in your mind. And it always changes by the time the games are played. Like, I think, let's just take the first two games. At Chicago, in theory, the first game with a brand new rookie quarterback, first pick in the draft. Is that a good time to play him?
I think so.
It seems like it. But I'm trying to think. Last year, who was it? Like, well, let's take Marcus Mariota. His first game, he threw like four touchdown passes against Tampa Bay. It was unbelievable.
Levis' first game as a starter.
Yeah. And I think the disadvantage is, I'm sure they will probably be, they won't show anything in the preseason games. You won't have any tendencies of what it is they're planning to do with Caleb Williams. And they may come out and hit you with the element of surprise and put him in a good position to succeed. Mm-hmm. Whereas in week four or five, he's still fairly inexperienced, but you know exactly what they're trying to do with him. So I could argue both sides.
Yeah.
And that's what's fun about, here we are in May, mid-May. All of the possibilities are out there. Is it good? Is it bad? And we have this debate.
Totally.
So I don't know how that's going to go. On the surface, it would seem like, okay, let's see what the rookie's made of. It's probably better than not to play them there.
If I had to choose, I'd rather play a rookie quarterback week one rather than week 16.
In theory, yeah.
In theory.
The Jets. Aaron Rodgers, that's a total wild card, mm-hmm. right? I don't think the odds are really good that he's going to get hurt again. But there will be major questions on what he is at this point. Rust and, you know, how is he moving? He's always been a very mobile guy, mm-hmm. right, that can throw on the run maybe better than anybody that's ever done it, other than maybe Mahomes,
yeah.
right? But he's deadly on the run. He's got to be an upgrade over what they've been putting out there
totally.
At quarterback. And they've
Put
got a
Zach Wilson.
And they've got a heck of a roster, right? That is going to be a year older. That's a pretty scary game, I think. Because I think he'll be healthy. So that's a tough one. And then Green Bay, obviously, the way they played last year, they got better, and then by the playoffs, they look really good. So that looks like a scary, tough game for sure. If you get one out of those two, I'd feel pretty good.
And then at Miami on Monday Night Football, I know the Titans were able to win that game on Monday Night Football.
Tough.
Monday Night Football last season. But that's also a really tough game. So I look at these first four games, Chicago, Jets, Green Bay, Miami. Chicago doesn't, terrify me, but I think that's a really tough schedule to start out the season that I was hoping for a couple of. And look, again, I know there's no gimmies in the National Football League. I understand that. I was hoping for a few more gimmies at the top of the schedule. And then a bye week in week five? And then you have, 13 consecutive games after that?
Yeah.
I don't love the early bye week either.
And in terms of the gimmies, they finished last in the division last year. And so, in theory, you get the two easier games. But I'm hard-pressed to say that I see a lot of gimmies, period. Mm-hmm. Right? We know the division is more balanced. So last year we were sitting there going, we'll just beat Indianapolis and Houston. You got four games against them.
Yeah.
That could get you. And we know how that turned out. Not well at all. They didn't win a single game against those two teams.
But
right?
They were 0-4. Beat the Jags.
Yeah. So not everything is what it will seem today, for sure. But who are the two last place teams? New England
Chicago
is one of them?
Chicago and Washington.
Chicago and Washington?
But is that right?
But don't you get two last place teams in the AFC? Like New England would be one, right?
New England would be one. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Okay.
So and who's the other last place team? Because they're playing
New England and would it be the Jets? No, they're in the same division. Duh. No, because you play the AFC East.
They're playing the whole division.
So that's not the last place
team. So is it NFC last place teams that they play? Or the two extra schedule things?
It looks like with
either way, I just don't see bad team jumping out at me.
Because they play the AFC East and the NFC North.
Right. Yeah. So they're playing the Lions, the Bears. They play that whole division, Green Bay. They play the AFC East, you're right.
And
the Chargers?
NFC North, if I would have said the Titans,
so the Chargers is
North
one,
3 years
Chargers
ago?
One of them, right? The Chargers would be one of them that you're playing because you had the fourth place schedule.
Yes.
And the Chargers fourth. So the Chargers aren't a fourth place team on paper.
No.
That's a terrible team, mm-hmm. right? They picked high. They didn't play well last year, but they have.
But it's the quarterback.
They got a lot going for them, mm-hmm. right? They have a lot of talent. And I'm trying to identify the second one. Is it Cincinnati?
Cincinnati. Yes.
See, is that a last place schedule kind of team?
That's, they just had that's, a quarterback that
you're
got
not
hurt.
Really benefiting from that.
Yeah. So it's not an easy schedule. And I guess when I talk about the gimmies, really the only two today games that I can call gimmies would probably be Chicago and Washington. And I understand that I'm no, saying that on May 16th.
And I don't think those are gimmies.
Washington, I don't think is going to be very good.
But I don't think the Titans are good enough that they're so much better than those teams that I would call those gimmies. I'll be curious what the line is for those two games. It's not like, to me, a gimme is when you're favored by more than a touchdown. Because even in the NFL, a touchdown isn't that much, but that's big for the NFL.
It's big for the NFL. And I understand when we talk about gimmies in the NFL, it's a lot more different than we're talking about, like Alabama playing Mercer. Like
100%.
That's a cupcake. That's a gimme. I just think the first four games, those games really scare me. And then the early bye, it might be nice to kind of regroup after those four games.
Yeah, but then at Buffalo, at Detroit.
Yeah.
Woo.
And then you start off after the bye, you play Indianapolis. And you also, this is a point that Paul Kuharsky pointed out on Twitter, the Titans don't play a single team coming off of a bye week, which is a good thing. Excuse me, not a good thing.
Well, you could argue probably either side of that, too. Right?
I guess you could.
There are some teams that are good coming out of byes and other teams that are rusty, et cetera, coming out of byes.
And I don't hate the travel. You go to L.A., and that's obviously, going west, that's never easy. But I've seen some schedules and even some Titan schedules of the past where you're going west several times, and then last year you had the London game where you're going to West Coast 1 week, and then the next week you're going to New York or New England or Washington, D.C. That's not the case here, really. I mean, it's the Chargers, but that Chargers game is sandwiched between two home games. So I don't hate that, but it really is the first four games that the first four games in having five divisional round games in the last seven games of the season. That is what really scares me. In addition to, you also have a very tough schedule.
I think it's a tough schedule, especially for a team that finished fourth in the division last year.
Yeah.
To me, those two things, having the Chargers and the Bengals as your two, quote, fourth place games, that's not...
Those are two top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Yes, that is not an advantage, at least as we sit here today. The other thing that strikes me is let's take your first four games to me is a good point, but then if I'm sitting there on November 1st after that back-to-back road pair of games at Buffalo, at Detroit, the first seven games to me are kind of survival with a new coach, young quarterback, a lot of new pieces you're trying to fit together. That's a pretty tough first seven games when you're trying to put a lot of pieces together. That is, to me, a big question mark. Can they survive? Can they be 3-4?
If the Titans get 3-4...
Not that it gets easy, but I think it gets a little more manageable.
New England, manageable.
Yeah.
You get the
Chargers, it's never easy to win out when you go out west, period. So that's tough.
Washington.
Minnesota at home, going to have probably a new quarterback, some new pieces. Houston, at Washington.
I heard Diana Rossini this morning saying that J.J. McCarthy is not the, you know, walk in today and he's the starter. And I know it could be just a coaching thing, a competitive thing, make him work for it. But that's something to
But I think we would all say whoever's starting, that's a team that is kind of unknown, kind of like the Titans, mm-hmm. right, Minnesota?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. New quarterback situation. If the Titans can
team in transition.
Right. Yeah. If the Titans can go 3-4 in that first seven games, pick up a game, let's say you start the season with a win at Chicago. Let's say you're able to beat Indianapolis at home, and then you pick up another win against the Jets or Green Bay or at Miami or at Buffalo or at Detroit. If you can win three games out of that stretch, I will consider that a success.
I would too. Here's the thing about Chicago. It's a little bit like the Lions. They have had, and the Jaguars, we used this example a couple years ago. When you pick first, second, ninth, sixth for several straight years, at some point, you have to stumble upon some good players.
Yeah.
That's what worries me a little bit about the Bears.
That's fair.
Like, what if it all comes together? Like, even if they don't get great play from right out of the chute from their quarterback, mm-hmm. their roster, my gosh, they ought to be doing... At some point, they should have a much better roster,
but
right?
Will that point be week one? I think that's the one thing that's working in your favor, because I think that Caleb Williams is going to be a hell of a quarterback in this league.
Well, okay.
But week one, is he going to be a hell of a quarterback in this league?
I will bet
he could.
We're sitting here on May 15th. I don't know what the health of both teams. You never know. There could be a training camp injury, right, that affects everything. I will bet you that Chicago is favored to win that game.
Do you think it's the home advantage?
That's part of it. That affects the line for any sporting event or who's at home. I think they will be favored in that game.
I also think that part of it is the allure of Caleb Williams. First overall pick, the quarterback factor of it all.
Okay, but still, I still think they will be favored.
If we're talking
do you
about
disagree?
The public, I don't know. I don't disagree. I don't think they'll be overwhelming favorites. I think it might be a pick 'em, like a half point favorite. But
now,
I'll bet you it's more than two.
The
spread will be heavily influenced by the public's intrigue of Caleb Williams and the overall just non-belief in the Titans. I don't think that's crazy to
say.
But
there's belief in the Bears?
In Caleb Williams. The intrigue of Caleb Williams, I think,
from the first game. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe how he plays in the preseason.
I was the one who said that the Titans were going to beat Chicago.
Well, let's get outside of our bubble and say what the odds makers. I don't know how they come up with it. I do think that probably the public, how they're going to bet does affect the line. Yeah. That's what I've been told anyway. But I think there's a lot of doubt about the Bears. They've been one of the worst franchises, especially when quarterback play comes in for the last 30 years or so. So I don't know how much of a bump. Now, if Williams goes out in the preseason in August and has some eye-popping plays and everybody's like, wow, that probably affects the line.
Right.
Right? So I can't factor in what that's going to look like. I just, as I sit here, I certainly don't think that's a game. It's a huge game for the Titans because if I think we know Green Bay, Miami, and even the Jets, as long as Aaron Rodgers isn't out there with a cane, right, a walking cane, he's going to
–
they've got a very good roster.
Yeah.
They were competitive last year with a nightmare at quarterback, right? That shows you they've got some parts of their roster that are really, really good. The other part that is interesting about the Jets is can they get the offensive line situated? They've got some offensive line nightmares similar to the Titans.
Yeah, can relate.
They can relate, right? They probably – they might have had a therapy session postseason. The line. We're both – maybe the line coaches.
Did they?
Issues there.
Or are you saying they should have?
Maybe the fans. I think they could have had some joint therapy there.
I think New York sports fans in general should maybe go seek some,
some
help,
therapy?
Some counseling, some rehabilitation.
I know as a Mets fan, I could use some therapy sometimes.
Ooh, being Jets, and a Nets fan?
Whew, I've just watched the Phillies and the Braves just take the Mets to the woodshed the last 5 or 6 days. So I'm hurting a little bit.
Yeah, I get it.
I get it.
I know. That's what we're here for. Yeah. Rehab, therapy, counseling.
You're a little spoiled because the Cardinals usually aren't bad.
I am so spoiled. I will admit it.
So you're going through something that most of us have been through. The Cardinals are actually hitting a dip. Like I was looking historically, they haven't had like back-to-back losing seasons in
my lifetime.
Forever? Yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever seen The Simple Life? It's a show with Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, obviously two very rich girls, and they go out and do like very humble jobs like drive a bus or go on a farm or work at Walmart. That's how I feel with having my baseball team have back-to-back losing seasons of I've just been in a, you know, a wealth of winning my entire life. And I'm like, wait, you mean to tell me that you can finish with a losing season? Weird. Never experienced it before. But I do want to continue to go back into some schedule thoughts because I saw this sentiment on Twitter last night from so many Titans fans, just shock and awe and frustration and anger at the schedule. And I'm thinking, did you expect anything different? We'll explain coming up next. We'll also get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, tune in.
Dramatic pause.
Yeah, very dramatic. But you got to keep people on their toes. Tune into 102.5 The Game today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Kentucky with pregame at 5:15 and first pitch at 5:30. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com.
Big game. Big weekend.
Big
for Vanderbilt.
Weekend for the Doors.
Need to come up big on the road.
12 SEC wins right now?
Yes.
Need to get to that 13 threshold to get to at least feel good about a tournament berth.
I think so. I think so. The obviously strength of schedule, non-conference schedule plays well for Vanderbilt, but you know, you're playing with fire. Especially they haven't been a good road team. This is a great opportunity to show the committee that they can beat good teams on the road.
That way you don't have to get to, you know, the final, the championship game in Hoover just to hopefully keep your hopes alive.
We know that committees these days, and I disappoints me because I do think if you're going to have the conference tournaments, then it should be meaningful that you could move your seed, you could become a host, all those things. Mm-hmm. But it seems like in the college basketball and the college baseball that a lot of the hay's in the barn, even before that tournament starts, which I don't like. So you want to make a good impression this weekend. It's a very important weekend for everybody around the SEC, but Vanderbilt for sure.
It is fun because the final weekend of SEC play, there's a lot on the line. A lot on the line. There's not very many years when the final weekend of the regular season matters. So big weekend for the Doors coming up on the road at Kentucky. We're reacting to the Titans schedule release that came out yesterday. And a couple of things that I do like about it. I like that you don't have crazy travel. You go to the West Coast once and really that's it. You stay on the eastern side of the U.S. for the rest of your schedule. You've got all noon games, which as a viewer, I don't necessarily love, but I do understand that there's value in consistency. But there is one thing that I saw Titans fans and even Jeffrey Simmons himself complaining and whining about on Twitter last night after the schedule release, and it was the fact that the Titans only have one primetime game. The Titans go on the road at Miami on Monday Night Football, and of course it's a Monday night game that just so happens to be a doubleheader. So you're not the only game on TV that night. But my question to everybody, Jeffrey Simmons included, who tweeted last night, one primetime game in week five bye, LOL, okay, .. What did you expect? Like, I think sometimes we have to be realistic that the Titans are not a big market team. It's not a sexy team. Nor do they have really any superstars on this team. Will Levis is not a superstar in this league. I know that DeAndre Hopkins is a future Hall of Famer and Calvin Ridley is a big name, but those players don't have the same kind of draw as a Joe Burrow and a Ja'Marr Chase or an Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. And now, CJ Stroud with the Texans. So yeah, you want more primetime games. Of course you want your team on primetime TV, but I'm not surprised in the slightest that it's only one primetime game. I don't know how you could expect anything different.
This is kind of life in Nashville, right? It's This is how it has been historically. When the team hasn't had success for a couple years, they never get them. This is not new.
It was, what, Thursday night against the Jags every single year?
Yeah, there was that stretch for sure. The early Mariota days, the before they started coming back up into, you know, the four straight 9-7s. Like, there was a stretch there. They didn't do very well. Mm-hmm. And that was par for the course. You're not going to get it. And I think in 1999, I'd have to go back and look. If I recall, a huge percentage of the games, the year that they ended up going to the Super Bowl, and they went 13-3, were at noon on Sunday. I don't know that they had, I think they had a Thursday night game against the Raiders that year, if I remember. But I think even then, and of course they were kind of anonymous, they weren't, that was their first year of actually being the Titans. So again, we had that discussion 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Of, you know, why aren't they on there more? It's just how it works. Small market. Not a great team. You're not going to get. So we all predicted. I thought they might squeeze one more out there. I went with where we had our over-under yesterday at 1.5. I thought maybe there'd be one more. But this is how it rolls. So be outraged. Fine. I hope it motivates them if that's what motivates you.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised in the slightest. And
but put the chip on your shoulder. Good. If that makes you play better, that's great.
And If that's coming from Jeffrey Simmons, if that adds the chip on your shoulder, then great. But yeah, again, I think that we just need to be realistic about where this team is at. And I think it takes one of two things to be on in prime time consistently, or at least multiple times throughout the season. One, it's the big market, like Dallas. Like, the Cowboys are always going to get a ton of prime time games. New York teams will always get a ton of prime time games. Green Bay will get a ton of primetime games just because it's the Packers.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, no question.
Yes, Pittsburgh, great example. Two, it's the superstar. Are the Chargers, you know, some sort of super sexy NFL team? No, they are not. But Justin Herbert is a superstar in this league. The Bengals.
And it's a big market.
And big market, small fan base.
But still, I think...
still Los Angeles.
It's Los Angeles. It's still eyeballs. I think, too, the league is trying to help them build a fan base, wouldn't you say? Like, they need
the help.
The league would like to have Los Angeles have a big fan base for the Chargers. It defeats the purpose of going back to LA and having two teams there,
right?
If one isn't going to be having much of a fan base,
and it's been a challenge. Dollars into that stadium.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And so you just don't have one of those superstars. Like, Cincinnati obviously has been miserable for so long, or at least was miserable for so long. But you've got superstars on that team. And the third thing is, it's not like the Titans play a ton of those teams either. Like, I don't know, when we initially came out, the opponents that the Titans were going to have, there were none that really jumped off the page to me.
That is interesting. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, a lot of times that it helps when you have Green Bay. That's one of those nationally followed teams. New England may have lost some of the luster now because there's no Belichick, no Brady, right? They're slowly getting back into just kind of a normal team.
I think they're going to stink.
I hope they stink. That would help. That'd be good for the Titans.
Yeah. But like, you know,
Washington used to have a big follow, but they've been so blah for a long time that it's not the same as it would have been in the 90s or even into the 2000s before they lost the luster.
Yeah. Houston is probably the one that I would have circled to say now that everybody's jumping on the Texans train and they've got the young, promising quarterback and they've added so much, added Stephon Diggs to Danielle Hunter in free agency. I thought that was one. But if you look at Houston's schedule, there are some much more attractive games to put on in primetime. Like, I know Houston will be playing the Ravens on Netflix on Christmas Day. Like, that's a matchup, that's a game that just kind of feels like it makes sense a little bit more than putting the Texans and the Titans on Sunday Night Football.
And remember, what is it, 15 of the 17 games are determined by the flow of the schedule, right? It's not like the league is saying, okay, who could we put together for a big TV audience, right? It's you have to take the games that are computer-generated, right, of the schedule, and then you start to put it together. But, yeah, then you start looking at what you have. Mm-hmm. And those teams are, like Dallas, the ones you mentioned, are apt to get the national games. That's who the TV networks choose, right? There's a system, a draft kind of that you go through. And they get to select who do we think gives us the best chance for eyeballs on the game.
They pay a lot of money for these games.
Sure.
So they want as many eyeballs as possible. And what's a more intriguing game? The Titans on the road at Washington, or, you know, Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson in an AFC North showdown? And I don't even know if those two games are in the same week. I'm just, you know, pulling out two random examples. But, like, if I'm paying billions of dollars for a product, I want to pick the best one.
Right. You know, we mentioned in the noon thing, they have only, if I'm looking at this right, two games that are not noon.
Two, potentially three with that final game against Houston, that flex. It could be Saturday, could be Sunday.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and the only reason that that game at the Chargers is not at noon is because it's a West Coast game.
And I remember at the time, I don't know why this memory pops in, because I just mentioned the 99 team. That was what jumped out at us. And we had Joe Theismann on. I don't know why we had Joe Theismann on that week, what was going on, if he was in town or something. But Joe Theismann said, I kind of liked the routine of having my game every week at the same time. Mm-hmm. You have your rituals. What do you do Friday night? What do you do, you know, Sunday morning? Home and road. If the game is starting at that early start, you kind of get in a rhythm of doing that for whatever that's worth. I don't know, but I think there's something to that. I think a player is comfortable, especially if it's a good rhythm and you're doing well.
Yes.
Which the 99 team obviously did. We'll see about this team.
If you're just horrible, playing at noon is not going to
change. It ain't going to matter what time the game starts.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not going to matter. But if we're going to nitpick it and try and find anything that's favorable, I think it's fair to point out that there's at least a good bit of consistency there. We've got a bunch of thoughts on our text line. Your reaction to the Titans schedule release. What do you like? What do you not like? If you're outraged about the Titans only getting one primetime game, why? It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. We'll get right to you coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Taking a break from all your worries. Sure,
tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp on the road. Pregame at 5:50 p.m. First pitch at 6:05. With coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball and 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
I have two questions. Is Sam Mayday Malone pitching for the Sounds? Is that why we're playing the Cheers theme? Or is D-Mace hanging out at Cheers right now? Both could be true.
He could be. Could
that
be.
Second one might be the answer there, Willie.
Okay.
We do not have any boots on the ground in Boston to see what D-Mace's whereabouts are. But D-Mace, if you're listening, let us know. We've got a bunch of thoughts on the schedule release, what some Titans fans like, what they don't like, and we'll get right to you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. And Taylor texts in, and they say, well, Nashville is not a large city. It is certainly not a small one. Even when we are good, we still get no national recognition. Why is this, and when will it change? Just curious.
Okay, you could have taken that exact text, call, whatever, put it in 2000, 2001, 2007, 2012, same exact thing.
Yeah.
So this is just a time machine here. This is just how, when you're in a small market, this is how it works.
I think it
you have to be a dominating team to some degree, or a hyped up team going in to the season, like, to change what the normal routine is.
Kansas City, I think, is a good example of that. Because it's not like Kansas City is some booming metropolis. It's not some rinky-dink small town. But it's not like L.A. or New York. But all anyone in this sport can talk about is Kansas City because they have the superstar
quarterback and they won
back-to-back Super Bowls. So when does it change, this texter asks? I think it changes when you get that superstar quarterback. Same thing with Jacksonville. That it's not like Jacksonville is the sexiest city in the United States. No disrespect to Jacksonville, but once they drafted Trevor Lawrence, and now I don't know what Trevor Lawrence is going to become in this league. I'm still not convinced that Trevor Lawrence is a superstar, but still, first overall pick, a lot of excitement around him. There was so much talk about Jacksonville because of the quarterback. Cincinnati, same way. They get the superstar quarterback. Now you can't have a conversation about the NFL without Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The Vrabel, Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Byers, Titans at their height, they did get. Like, after they went to the AFC Championship game unexpectedly, the next couple years, and they were winning divisions, they got a fair amount of primetime games, did they not?
Yeah.
So we're kind of settling back into they're kind of off the radar, right?
Yes.
So when whoever just texted that in, we're not that far removed where they were getting, there was a reaction from the league, okay, we need to get Derrick Henry on some primetime games. That was happening.
And Wes in Clarksville, Texan, says, do you think we lost primetime games because of no Derrick Henry? I don't think that's everything, but I do think that that's a factor.
It's a factor, and he was a factor because they were winning, too.
Yes.
If Derrick Henry were doing great, but they were still losing, I still don't know if it would have equated to a lot.
And even with
Derrick Henry as a primetime player on a team that was winning, that was get some eyeballs on that.
And even with Derrick Henry, I think there's a ceiling to how much excitement can be drummed up by a running back. And that's just the nature of the position, that the quarterback and the names and the markets and the records, if you're winning,
2,000-yard kind of runner.
Totally.
He was kind of a throwback in that respect, because I think back in the day when it was much more common for good teams to have a featured running back, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Tony Dorsett, I do think that was a more featured part of why you would want to show a team. Those guys were much more prominent back then. There's less of them, but Derrick Henry was a rare guy in that area.
Yes, 100%. And he was a guy that everyone knew. You know, D-Mace and I were talking about this when we were out at training camp one day. I don't know why you weren't there, Willie, but we were talking about Derrick Henry and just what he means to this team, and that there were all the players' kids running out on the field. Every single one of them had a Derrick Henry jersey on. Every single one of them has a father that plays for the Tennessee Titans, not named Derrick Henry, yet they were all wearing Derrick Henry jerseys. If there is going to be a Titans representation, a face of the team, a Sunday Night Football poster, who was going to be on it?
Derrick Henry.
He was a very marketable name, face, and just figure and presence.
And I do think, from Amy Adams Strunk and that business department, ticket sales and stuff, I do wonder what a new team, hopefully you have sort of the newness, you got a young quarterback, hopefully that helps fan interest.
Yeah.
And when I say fan interest, there's always going to be fan interest from the team. But the challenge, as we know, even when your team is good, is to get your fans to go sit in the seats, pay for the tickets. They know the new stadium is coming. It's not going to be cheap. But now you've got this gap you've got to fill between now and the day that new stadium opens, where in theory you'll get a bump.
Yeah.
If people will pay for all the PSLs and stuff, that's a whole nother subject too, which is not, it's kind of a sore subject, right? What are they charging?
It's
in this day and age, it's not cheap. But now there actually are a lot of cheap seats to go to a Titans game. But still, you got to get people to sit in those seats. You don't have Derrick Henry now.
And that's also not a great sign.
Because that is one thing, where you walked out of that stadium, right, on occasions, and I always try to go at least one, two games, even with the Predator schedule and everything. because I just want to be there and be able to say, I was standing with the fan, what's the fan experience like?
Yeah.
But that is the one thing that you could most days walk away from. I went to the Bengals game last year. That was a memorable game for Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Threw the touchdown pass. He had a great game running the ball.
It was a great game.
It was a great game for him. So every fan that was there can walk away and say, yeah, I watched Derrick Henry play, and I saw him have a great game. Wasn't a great season, mm-mm, right? Wasn't a great team. But that is the memory they will always have. If you went to the game against Buffalo on Monday night.
Oh, I was there. It was a blast.
And that was a birthday present for my son. We got him tickets so his buddies could go watch. What are they going to remember from that game? Derrick Henry had an unbelievable game against the Bills. Now, Jeffrey Simmons, the goal line stand, all that. Great game.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the number one thing?
Derrick Henry.
They'll remember Derrick Henry
totally.
In that game.
100%.
And now you don't have that guy, right? It's going to be tougher. So I do wonder about attendance. Especially, you're not going to get the bump from the other team's fans other than Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the Jets to some degree. And every fan base does seem to have this routine now in the NFL. You take a bunch of you pick a road city, mm-hmm, right? It's happening in a lot of sports right now.
And Nashville's a destination place. That if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, I'll circle Nashville and say, yeah, I'd love to go.
If you're in Minnesota, are you sitting there, oh, Nashville, that'd be fun. Let's go to Nashville.
The Titans play the Bills at Buffalo. But yes.
But when Buffalo has come here, they've had a big-time group come
and
down.
I remember when the Bills were here, it was Monday Night Football. Ooh. I was driving to Broadway. We're doing our show on Broadway that day, and I was driving to Broadway at probably 11 a.m., and every single person I saw on Broadway was wearing a Bills jersey. And I'm thinking, my goodness, how early do people start drinking? But the whole downtown was covered in Bills fans. And I know that's kind of a point of contention for Titans fans as well, is when, you know, the Packers, the Cowboys, the Bills, big fan bases come to town, Nissan Stadium kind of gets overrun. Coming up next, Pecorine sat down with Jared Stillman yesterday. It was a great interview. If you missed it, you can find it on your preferred podcast platform. You can find it on our streaming channels at 1025 The Game. It was a great interview. We'll react to some of the highlights from what Pecorine had to say, and we will do that coming up next. Elliot Friedman will join us in 1 hour, so we'll run some of this by Elliot as well. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025, 106 for The Game.